This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Lucha Underground, the premiere Lucha Underground after show. Thanks a lot for joining us. My name is Max.
My name is Travis.
And we are recording from Travis's solarium?
Yeah. A potatorium, that's what we call it.
Ugh, you're going to want to cut that out later. It's going to sound a little bit different than what you guys might be used to. Probably a little echoey, maybe a little quiet. Sorry, we're just trying to make do with what we got, we got going. Let's push through.
Yeah, you don't have any news or notes?
No, I really don't. Killshot was in Vancouver tonight, and neither one of us had the brains to go to the show.
Yeah, we kind of dropped the ball there. We heard from a friend of ours, friend of the show, Karina / Ray Palomino, had spoken with him and said, I have this via text, that he does listen to the show. So if that's the truth, Killshot, we apologize for not being at the show today. We dropped the ball. You're right, Max.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a great job. I'm sure you did fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, especially working with El Fantasmo. It seems like every time a Lucha Underground talent comes through Vancouver, they work with El Fantasmo. We had Brian Cage did it twice now, and Jeff Cobb, and now Mr. Strickland. Mm-hmm. You ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Lucha Underground, Season 3, Episode 9. Recap, did you know, I don't know, do you subscribe to the El Rey Network, or did you get this on iTunes? For those of you...
No, you don't have to say anything more.
Things are a little wonky.
Oh my god.
You kind of tell. It started with Cortez and Dario Cueto, and they remind us of the arm break.
Oh my god.
Ray and Chavo. And, who's AD? Who would be AD, do you think? I have written down in my notes AD.
AD?
Maybe it'll come to us.
AD. Who in Lucha Underground has the initials AD?
Aerostar Dominique, that's his last name. I don't know, maybe it'll come to me. I had that in the recap here. I took these notes last night in a bit of a haze. Anyways, we enter the temple. Slapback is back. And that brings us to our latest and very interesting episode of Man
in the Wedge. I gotta get that wedge. I'm sure that was gonna sound amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, with the acoustics in here.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's gonna be great.
This episode's Man in the Wedge was an absence of a man in the wedge. It was a black and open void. It was like existential dread, like staring into what was normally there. I think what it is we get the four.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And then the one like kind of not a real Man in the Wedge.
They purposely throw a curveball in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe because they're trying to... are they fucking with us?
or it's just... who knows? Because clearly it was Rainbow Bright and Kentucky Waterfall, who I did see it in tonight's show, but in different seats in the temple. But then there was just one out of nowhere. They threw an Andrew WK headless, and this one is just, it was nothing. I was trying to find something, but it was just an empty void. Interesting.
They had to go home early.
Yeah, I guess.
It was a family emergency.
Yes. Shit, we can't put somebody in there? No, let's roll. Let's go.
That's right.
Right away, we see Chavo Sr. is at ringside.
I like this.
Yeah, me too. It you know, reminds us of how the last one ended. Was that the last episode, or was that two episodes ago when Ray talked to Chavo? I think that was last episode.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Dario Cueto brings out his Dario's Dial of Doom. We are soundboard free, as you guys can tell, in the little solarium here. And he reminds of Aztec Warfare 3 and says this is one more spin.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that they had new names on there.
Yeah.
And
I think they replace people who...
That makes sense.
Who get there, yeah.
That makes sense. Long-time listeners will know that I won a Mariposa Matanza match.
Yeah.
This was my last chance, probably ever, to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And, I knew it wasn't going to happen. But... I was kind of hoping,
because
she was one of the original names on there.
I know.
And then I also saw, I saw during the spin that Cobra Moon had been put up there too. Still has not wrestled this season.
No. So it ends up on Dario's choice, and he does a quick kind of pop gauge for Pentagon. Maybe we go to Pentagon Dark again. Huh? Kind of seeing how they responded, and they liked it. But I love the way he introduced this. This guy comes every day to work.
Yeah, totally.
Works so now's your chance. And he throws in Cortez, and Cortez comes out in the cast.
Yeah.
And he kind of tosses his kendo stick on the way down. I'm like, I know I got to bring this fucking thing. It's part of my gimmick. I should not be in the ring tonight.
Yeah, I loved it. I was like, who's it going to be? And then as soon as he started going into it, I was like, of course, he's not done like punishing him yet.
Mm-hmm.
It makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Just great. Like a reason for a squash.
Yeah.
It's like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so good. When do you ever see a reason with a squash? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so good. The cops stuff has always been for me like the most compelling because it's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy. Anything to do with the cops, I'm excited about.
Yeah.
You know what? And this is what reminded me too. It's like, what's going on with this? The amulet. Remember Captain Vasquez has half the amulet?
That's right.
That was like, they just dropped that?
No, I don't think they will have dropped it. I just think it's meant to be in like the back of
No, I got total faith in that they haven't dropped it, but I just mean like, I just can't believe that it just hasn't come up again.
Mm-hmm. At least I like kind of a forget-me-not, just a reminder. I guess it's the long arc.
Yeah, that makes sense. I gotta be honest, I'm so ready for Aztec Warfare, man.
Me too.
I feel like this was just another episode where I just felt like nothing is really happening. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it's just because I know Aztec Warfare is coming along, and I know that will have repercussions.
Yeah.
But it just seems like things have just been like slowly meandering around. You know, they tied up Killshot and Marty, and they tied up, well, they're tying up Famous B and Masquerita Sagrada. I'm so ready to like start the next chapter here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I mean they were able to, and this is kind of what happened in the first season. It was on Phoenix with the strap for the first like
totally
8 episodes, and things kind of switched from there.
Yeah,
but with this they have those, and I'll say it again, because we left the transitional season that still had all these knots that still need to be tied up. In this instance, or this season, they were able to kind of tie those, finish up those arcs in this kind of, like, they're sticking to the same structure, right? Like, it's kind of...
It feels that way. Yeah. Like it's the first act.
Yeah.
And now we're about to go into, like, the meat of the whole, mm-hmm. the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. I'm ready.
Yeah, me too.
I'm ready.
I thought it was interesting that Matt Stryker noticed Dario Cueto's look at, they're starting to show that there's something more to this kind of thing
that
they might be suggesting.
Yeah, especially at the end. Oh, so to the match itself
between
Cortez Castro and and Matanza.
Matanza.
When Matanza smashes his arm in the cast, I was like, I reeled.
Yeah.
It looked so good. It was so convincing.
Yeah.
Props to Cortez Castro for outstanding selling in this match.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's all he had to do.
I'm telling you right now, I'm nominating him for best the Dario Cueto Award for best non-Dario Cueto performance, English language, no makeup. And he did it all with his face.
Yeah.
Did it all with his face.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
This whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, since he's had to take the fall. Can't see it getting any better.
Oh, if I had the soundboard right here?
Yeah.
Boom. That's Mr. Cisco.
he shows a bit of heart at the end after just getting squashed, but that hope spot is stopped quickly and right into a Wrath of the Gods that I thought looked really good.
Yes, actually, I did notice that too. Yeah, good. This one, because I was complaining about it last week.
Yeah.
Not complaining. I just couldn't tell. I wanted to know, am I alone in thinking this? And this one looked solid. This one looks like he was planted. It looked like a finishing move.
Yeah.
Felt like a finishing move.
Yeah.
It was good.
And then as so Dario comes, enters the ring, and says, "Ouch! Please get plenty of rest under covers." I kind of wish they would have stopped there. That would have been enough.
I know.
You know, but then he goes so far as and says, "And get plenty of sleep, rat." And then it's like, because then if he could have said under covers, then Cortez isn't being told directly.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so now there's no... Because there's no believable way to convince me that Cortez Castro doesn't think his cover has been blown.
Yes, yeah, that's what I thought.
So, but the next story beat we have with them, it might be him going back to Vasquez and saying, like, my cover's been blown.
Yeah.
Like, and then going from there. And then that's totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally cool. Mm-hmm. If that's what they needed to progress, that's fine. Yeah. But if it goes back and he's like, they're still doing this
I agree.
Thing,
yeah, that's
it's
what
not,
I was thinking too.
Yeah.
I thought the undercovers was a funny little...
Yeah, me too. Me too. Enough. And Stryker notices it there too, right? Where he's like, there's something... About. Yeah, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. Hmm. Good little squash. And like you said, a nice reason for a squash.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
Next segment is Dario Cueto and Joey Ryan are in the office. They're just laughing about what is happening.
I know. This whole scene, Dario is in such a weird mood.
He was shit-faced.
Oh, you think that was what
isn't fine? They're starting to show, because he was kind of throwing back the... I think they are starting to play this up more. I think there was a reason why we saw him on coke. I think this may end up being part of his downfall.
Whoa.
Like, he was checking the...
That would be amazing. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you wanted to turn Dario babyface, you would have him go through a spiral of alcoholism.
Meet his wife and, like, kids who he hasn't spoken to.
Oh, you don't even need to do that. No. He's just, like, he can't really run a business properly anymore. And then he disappears, and he comes back 6 months later.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I've found God. Yeah, I've found God. Yeah. I found God, and I don't drink anymore. And then all the characters... It'd be great, because all the characters would be like, I don't know if we can trust him or not. Like, is this real? Is this not real? And then at the end of season, Ultima Lucha...
Quattro. Yeah.
Quattro, he turns heel again, and the whole thing was just a ruse.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I like it. No, I did think, I started to think he's drunk. Like, he was laughing at a lot of weird things, and I think they were trying to call attention to it.
Maybe.
Joey Ryan gets up to leave after a couple chuckles.
This is best Joey Ryan performance as well.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
Although it's a low bar.
Yeah. It's true. So Son of Havoc and Masquerita Sagrada enter. Asking for a match with Famous B. He says, I'll do it if your boy, Son of Havoc, can beat Dr. Wagner Jr.
Yeah. How did you feel in this scene that Masquerita Sagrada did not speak?
Mm-hmm.
Because he spoke in the Bagel Bites thing.
Yeah.
In Son of Havoc's basement.
Just like these little whispers and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, why would he talk then?
I know, why would they put...
I'm shy.
It's so weird. Yeah.
I know. And then later he like kind of whispers what he wants for the match.
He's willing to talk directly to
Mrs. Havoc.
To Mom of Havoc.
Yes. He's known her forever.
He's known her forever? I don't know if that's true.
I just think like...
Do you think they're good old friends?
That's
Oh, I don't know. I think this is a new friendship.
He's probably closer in age to Son of Havoc or Son of Havoc's mom than he is to Son of Havoc.
Well, that's true, but I don't know if that's kayfabe.
Anyways,
I just thought it was odd. I was just waiting for him to talk, and he didn't. It's just like,
I wonder if that was. I bet you maybe that's just that one line from the Bagel Bites as the only time we're ever going to hear him talk.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Good piece of trivia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good piece of trivia.
Yeah. So they set up that match. Then we get an in-ring promo from Puma. There was a quick cut to Vampiro in the middle of it. Like, that was deliberate, right?
Yeah.
To show him kind of calculating what this guy's saying and stuff. They mentioned Conan's death again.
Yeah, I love it. Every time they bring up Conan.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I kind of think they might bring him back.
But he can't wrestle.
No, but I think he could, They could find a way, man. This is all, it's comic books, right? Speaking of bringing people back, our boy Charlton tweeted at us that at the Cricket Wireless shows, King Cuerno lives and is working at these shows.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
No way, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they've shown, like, the... Well, I mean, we got to see all the... White Rabbit guys this week. But...
I love their get-ups.
Yeah. Who do you think they all are? We'll talk about...
Did you find out?
No. But I have a guess based on, like, the build of one guy in particular. Anyways. in-ring promo mentions Conan's death, and he challenges Mil Muertes to grave consequences, like we had thought. Katrina accepts at the top of the stairs, and then Mil Muertes comes from the other side.
Wearing that suit.
Three-piece suit.
Yeah.
He said it looked like he came for a funeral, but he looked...
He looked amazing. Like $1 million. Yeah, yeah. I want to see him in front of the mic wearing that.
Yeah.
In the bandstand.
Yes.
Fronting slapback.
Yeah. there's a good back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. They brawl.
Yeah. There's a good moment at the end where Puma throws his jacket back at him, and Mil Muertes is just like, you did not just throw that fucking jacket at me.
You know what? Here's an interesting thing. It's a promo, and then there's a little brawl, and then that's the whole sequence. Isn't it interesting that the thing that we remember most is the fact that Mil Muertes wore a suit and not a word that was said really during that promo?
Good point. But, you know, he wasn't out there trying to drop lines or sound bites or anything.
That's true.
He did what he had to do. He challenged him to grave consequences.
That's true.
I see what you're saying. You're insinuating that, like, if this would have been a great promo, we'd be talking about
that. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. But I don't think it was... You say that nothing happened, but they moved plot...
Yeah.
Everything here, right? Like this.
I'm just looking for the next act to begin. Yeah. You know, I'm looking for the next act.
I got you.
If it's a grave consequences match, it can't. Well, it's probably going to end with Mil Muertes getting thrown into the casket, right? Because Mil Muertes, he's died like three times already.
Yeah.
So then he just comes back.
Yeah.
If it's Puma and he gets thrown in there. Either is like, is that the way that Ricochet's tenure in Lucha Underground ends? Just by being defeated? That's crazy!
That's
almost what I...
If they've set this precedent that people can come back from the dead, I don't think it's out. I think, look, Puma beat Muertes clean.
Yeah.
I think Mil Muertes is going to win this match.
I love Mil Muertes. You know what?
I don't think it'll be clean, but I think it'll end up with,
that is the correct booking decision, because you cannot go through this whole thing again with Mil Muertes dying, quote-unquote dying, then coming back. Like, is that just what we do every season? You have to add another wrinkle to it now. I just don't know. That just seems like such a, unceremonious way to dispatch of the Prince Puma character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's a big match, and it would give that match a ton of really be pretty serious.
Yeah,
who died in the first grave consequences? Just Conan.
I think
he somehow got thrown in, and that was the end of it.
Yeah,
God,
he was supposed to be. Well, Phoenix won that match, the first grave consequences.
Yeah.
But Muertes is indestructible. Maybe something about that. The old medallion theory, like anybody who's attached to that, still has some sort of who knows.
Oh, I bet you Katrina gets thrown in it. That's my guess.
She got thrown in it last time and then wasn't in there anymore. Remember?
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe Vamp. He's a player in all of this.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe Vampiro goes in.
That would be good.
And then you just don't have him.
We're talking about acts. This is the kind of big kind of wrap up story we're getting in this first act.
That's true.
Because we are getting it next week, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next match. Before we learn, Famous B grabs a mic from Melissa and cuts a good heel promo, I thought. Like, setting him up. He does what he has to do.
Cheap heat.
Yeah. I thought at this point, the boos felt pumped in. Did you notice this?
I didn't notice, no.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put it past them. Yeah. I don't think they would think twice about it.
I'm sure they do. It hasn't been noticeable. This felt noticeable.
1 second. Boom. Okay.
Okay. So the match is Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Son of Havoc. As we said, winner gets to pick the stipulation. Melissa announced this. I don't think Dario had said this earlier, that the winner of this match...
Yeah, well, no, in the office.
Did he say the winner gets to pick the stipulation?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Son of Havoc right away starts with those two great topes right outside the ring. Do you remember this? He might start with two dives outside the ring.
Yeah.
So it's good hot start. Goes into the crowd. Awesome backflip from Son of Havoc off the...
Silky. Yeah. Silky.
Yeah.
Son of Havoc, man.
But here it is.
That guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
good. His moonsaults are money.
Yeah. I think we have him in our in this first act. He's in our top five performers for sure. Would you say?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean,
he hasn't had a bad match yet.
No.
Right? No. Has he only had two? Is this only his second match? No, he's had three.
I don't know. It kind of blends.
Yeah, it does. Anyways. I told you before we got here, I wish you'd had the soundboard, because I got a hot take. Are you ready?
Yep. I'm holding on to my butthole.
Brenda brings nothing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
She wouldn't shut up during this. I don't know if she really understands what's going on.
I don't know.
Or how to do this. She did train. Did you know that?
Yeah, I think I read about that. That she has, like, some sort of a...
She's just too vocal. She needs to not be that vocal during the match.
But what... Like, she doesn't even need to be there, is what I'm saying. They've got...
I know.
She's not getting heat in any either direction.
Well, we don't like her. So she's getting genuine heat from us.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's a way you could get... What I'm saying is she's not helping to get Wagner over more as a heel, or Famous B is the one who's getting the heat in this thing. She's just arm candy, I guess. I mean, it goes back to
some kind of entourage, though. There's something about an entourage,
I guess.
It speaks to that, like, you know, here's this, like, beautiful, buxom, like, blonde woman that's with the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah. Anyways. I'd like to see something from her, like at least sort of contribution.
I wouldn't
hold my breath.
Well, yeah, I guess the question is, she's so intrinsic to Famous B that I think it's all about what happens with Famous B. Mm-hmm. So if Famous B is defeated and we never see him again, then we'll never see Brenda again.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things you can do with Famous, depends on where they want to take Famous B, right? Yeah. If Famous B vanquishes Masquerita Sagrada, then Brenda's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But if they want to do something creative with Famous B, they could.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't need Brenda. They're not so linked.
Yeah.
You know, she's really is more of like a prop.
Yep. Yeah. That's kind of what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Famous B gets involved right away and beats up Masquerita Sagrada as well. The crowd starts chanting 4-2-3, you suck.
What does that mean? That's right. Of course.
Solid offense from Dr. Wagner Jr. This guy, like, I guess he has some sort of history that we don't want to know about. We like the ignorance.
Oh, speaking of Lucha history, I watched Lucha Mexico, which is on Netflix.
Oh, I heard about
this. Netflix, on Netflix US and in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good.
Yeah, that has the wrestler death in it,
right? It does.
Yeah.
You don't get to see footage of it, which is good. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see it, but they definitely didn't know. I mean, they were in the middle of filming that guy and having him be part of, like, their whole narrative when it happened. It's pretty wild. I don't know, just something very, very Spanish sounding. I just don't know. I don't even want to try.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that he was teamed up with a lot of the footage has him wrestling with Taya.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I haven't heard her say anything about that, so if I ever got the chance to interview Taya, my first question, well, after the niceties, I'd want to talk about what was it like, you know, when this all happened, like, did it make you second guess this profession, like, how well did you even know this guy? Maybe it's just like, maybe I just saw, like, one random match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm surprised it hasn't come up.
They mention Tenryu chops. Somebody's throwing chops, and he says it reminds him of chops for Tenryu. I like that. There was Vampiro mentions masks, and there's a really good discussion that follows. I thought that they had good discussion, like the kind of stuff that we liked this episode. Can you remember that?
I can't remember off the top of my head now.
Yeah, no, I remember they start talking about the masks and what the history means and things like
that. Yeah, that's the type of stuff that's the best. Like, if any, like, that is what you need more of. You need less of, like, the cutesy stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Son of Havoc gets his finisher. It's an okay match. Happy with the result, obviously. It just never really kind of took off into any sort of exciting...
Yeah.
Son of Havoc takes the mic, asks Masquerita Sagrada what he wants, and we hear next week is a Believer's Backlash match. Says there's more. You can bring any weapon. So, my question right now, over under, how many shivs?
Zero.
Just imagine, just Famous B just... Every time he gets a little too close to CJ De Niro.
That's your grave consequences match right there. Jeez. That'll just be belts.
Yeah, yeah. I remember they did that in season one.
Right? Yeah.
Who was in that match?
Tejano. No, not Tejano. Hernandez.
Yes.
And... Oh, man.
Yeah, it was funny. Hernandez like, and... they didn't know how to react. They're kind of like, I'll whip you now. Okay, I'll whip you. Like, they were quite sure. But now that they've kind of seen it, like, it's on.
What would you bring?
Keys.
No!
I'm just thinking of the most, like, visceral, like, terrible wooden spoon.
Just a wooden spoon. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I don't know. What's around here? I need inspiration. Bring a Roomba.
Roomba. It looks like, and here's another thing that's kind of getting wrapped up in Arc 1, is Masquerita should, there's no way that he's going to end up getting, like, imagine the fans all turn on Masquerita Sagrada and whipping this.
Yeah, good point. I don't see, well, maybe that's part of their strategy.
Yeah.
They probably know.
Yeah.
If I was Masquerita Sagrada, I'd be like, yeah, something where the fans get involved, because there's no way they're beating up on me. That makes total sense.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
That's what I'm just saying. Just imagine, like, wow, I really read these guys wrong.
They just want to destroy them. Oh, my God. Could you do it? What if you had a belt?
a little person? No.
But you have... The context says it's okay.
If he had been, like, if the storyline up until that point where he had been, like, evil, like an asshole, you'd go course. For it.
But I mean, he's a good guy. But you, even though you have the cover of being like, listen, this is just a wrestling TV show. I was told I was allowed to whip the wrestlers.
Awesome. Okay, and we hear the Nathan For You music again as Master celebrates. And then we get a White Rabbit promo. Then we finally see London, Paul London and his two cronies. He said, open my eyes and I can see... And then they show the other two. And here's what I'm thinking. Okay, so this guy's name is Mala Suerte. Who's your guess as to who that is?
Oh, that guy's cool. This is the chicken-looking guy?
Yeah.
Mala Suerte. I don't know. Nightclaw.
I'm going to guess Mr. Cisco.
Oh. Yeah. You're totally right. That's cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, good for him.
Yep.
And the other one, I guess, would probably be Ricky Mandel.
Oh, I don't know.
Or, like, Ricky Mandel. Who knows, right? It could be or Hennis. Or, like, whoever they pull in. One of the former Disciples of Death.
Saltador?
Is that what it says?
Saltador, yeah.
Yeah, his look is crazy, too.
All the checkered. I'll see how he looks when he's in the ring. Yeah, that might be too stupid looking.
Mm-hmm. The visual of the three of them is awesome.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, it was a good reveal. Like, there's definitely an aura of mystery there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're about it. We've got our last big event here, or big match coming up, so we will take a quick break and hear a few words from Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you're subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Just head to iTunes today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed, the PWO PTBN feed, PTBN Pop, and of course, the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcasts. Some really great stuff. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. Thanks for being a fan of professional wrestling. More importantly, thanks for being a fan and supporter of the Place to Be Nation.
Place to Be Nation is JT Rizzuto here. In addition to the archives of The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's Past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. All of this in addition to Scott Keith's Podcast of Doom, which includes discussions on questions from listeners, as well as current day and old school wrestling. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows are available on PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network. That's the PWO PTBN Podcast Network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Team's Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO PTBN Podcast Network.
Our main event: Loser Leaves Lucha, Chavo Guerrero versus
right.
Rey Mysterio Jr.
Right.
Vampiro right away at the beginning says, he's fighting back tears.
Shut up, Vampiro. You were not fighting back tears.
I know. He kept playing that up.
Yeah, it was too much.
But
it's
he talks about Mysterio being in the earth tones, and I can see, from what little I know of,
I remember that moment, but
old footage.
That seems so strange to me, too.
Maybe that is something
thing?
That you would see lots in, like, old, or like that, because they had said before that horse mask kind of thing that he was is a real throw out or shout out to the
to Rey Mysterio Sr.
Yeah,
that would make some sense that they were doing that, because then it makes it multi-generational, mm-hmm. with Chavo Sr. That makes some sense.
And I think it's quite possible that this match was booked with, like, in terms of moves, as just constant little homages throughout.
Who knows?
I bet, who knows, right? Like, you saw some things that Ray didn't normally do. Remember when he went on top of him with his knees on top of his shoulders, like he hadn't really done before, where he was facing and things like that?
I think you're right. There's lots of stuff that the moveset by both these wrestlers felt fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, felt fresh. Is that because they just wanted to put on a good match?
Yeah.
Or was it? Is it some sort of codified, like, Lucha Libre something?
Maybe. That's I don't know, but that they were kind of following a classic kind of formula throughout this.
Maybe.
Right?
Wishful thinking. Oh, formula, maybe. Okay, yeah, formula.
Yeah, sure. Just like and call-outs to, like I said, or like shout-outs to guys who have done certain moves before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that's why, like, tied to Vampiro's crocodile tears, as you say. I think he was kind of spotting that.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm making a connection that's not there.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
What did you think of the interference?
At the end?
No, in the middle.
With Chavo?
Yeah.
Chavo Classic?
Yeah.
I like the way it, like, when it happened at the end, I was kind of like, shit, that's kind of a shitty finish. I get it. It gets it's angry. But...
Are you talking about the... When it first happened, you were like, that's bullshit? Were you upset? I loved it.
When I thought the Chavo won,
I was like, this is the greatest moment in Lucha Underground history.
Yeah, but, and it ends up being that Chavo doesn't win.
Yeah, yeah.
But I definitely, okay, now that Chavo's lost, I don't think Chavo's coming back.
I agree.
When it looked like Ray had lost, I thought Ray was still going to
somehow you get him back. Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So,
totally.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't fully believe it. It's kind of like when Vinnie Mac says, you're fired.
Yeah.
You know
that
that's never...
not really.
Never legit. Yeah. But I thought it was a really good match. I liked it a lot. I thought they both did really well.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that these guys have known each other forever. I liked when he kind of hurled him into Chavo Sr. That was pretty good.
Yep.
And you weren't sure, like, because he was kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was at that point that I did realize that, he's for sure with Chavo in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because then we started to see him cheering for his son a lot more after that. Some great kind of just crazy kind of awesome ranas and great counters.
This was a good match, man. This was good. This was two guys who are past their prime that put on a great match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Good storytelling. It felt fresh.
Yeah.
Felt and it had unpredictable.
And it had that good old school
sense of history.
Psychology.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Ray hits a plancha and he ends up holding his knee, and then Chavo just goes after that knee like hardcore from that point on. Chavo sucks chant. Ray's crossbody. He does a crossbody off the middle rope that belongs in like the image in like the wrestling encyclopedia.
Wow.
Like,
it's okay.
So, like,
I'll have to go back and look.
Okay. Yeah.
Off the second rope, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You'll know when it comes.
Nice.
Chavo tries to do the Three Amigos again. This may be my new only contribution to wrestling analysis.
What? What? Wait, talking, what is this going to be?
When I was talking with Pete, I think Chavo never gets the full Three Amigos in. So in a way, that's like his homage, but it's kind of a kayfabe homage. Because he's never been like a babyface making Eddie homages. He's always like a heel. And so it's kind of like, you don't deserve to do three.
He's
kind of like, no, you're right.
You'd have to go through a lot of footage to prove that trap.
So far, hey, man, you tell me if he hits three. Then this one, he tried for it twice. He only got two out of three the first time. And the second time, he stopped after two and finished it with something. Oh, Marty Elias. it disqualifies Ray after, Chavo Sr. comes in and hits him with a chair. He psychs us out that he's going to hit Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Dario, that's what I mean about Marty. Dario comes out, he's like, Marty, you gotta be kidding me!
Yeah, that's good.
That's great. He makes it no DQ.
I should grab that for a soundboard clip.
Yeah.
Marty, you gotta be kidding me!
The crowd was super hot at this point that was still on. Chavo Guerrero Sr. takes a chair to the head, and he gets one of the double 619s, but Chavo gets out of the way. Ray goes for the West Coast pop. Chavo rolls it nicely into a half crab, so it was kind of like this is still a little bit more.
Yeah, I love that half crab, man.
Yeah,
I love that half crab. I need to see more of that.
Yeah, and I love the way he snapped it on, like kind of coming off.
I always got room for a half crab.
Always
super happy. That's right.
Chavo goes for Three Amigos again. Like I said, stops after two and hits a gory bomb instead, which is, I know for sure that is a Lucha Libre trope and like a tribute to where that came from. I laughed at Matt Stryker. Oh, comparing Chavo's pin to Hulk Hogan's. Do you remember this? He's talking about when Hogan beat the Iron Sheik and he locked his face. Like, that is impossible because this, like, a guy wanted, like, come on.
That's all right.
Nice. It's nice. It's not the worst thing he said, obviously, but.
Yeah, that's what I like, though. I like the references to
the history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ray was digging deep. Crowd is behind him. Hits a 619. The splash at the top for the 1-2-3. I went 3.25 on this. I didn't like. I'm not sure if it needed the false finish.
3.25. God, you're cold-hearted.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
That false finish hurt things a bit more. Up until that point, it was like building and building. And just like, did you need to put that in?
This is an honor roll match. At the end of the season, you look back at all the episodes. You'll be able to go through and pick through what you thought were good matches. And this is a good match. This doesn't deserve this to sneak over the threshold, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is up there. This is top tier. This is the best match. Chavo. If Chavo is really gone for good, this is the best match Chavo Guerrero had ever put in to Lucha Underground.
Better than his
I was about to say, arguably.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, some of us might argue it was that one against Cage.
Yes, Pete loved it. He mentioned it as well.
Boom! I know. I heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was great, and it was special. What am I gonna do? Come on.
I don't know.
Chavo's not Mil Muertes. Chavo's not.
I'm not asking you to give it 5 stars.
I'm not saying that. I think then 3.25 is a good.
So cruel.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost went 3.5.
Oh, you gotta be more generous.
I don't think it needed the. If they were going to stick to like. And again, like, maybe I'm missing, like someone's going to be like, no, man, it had this moment, which is a shout-out to this moment in Lucha Libre history.
That's what it takes to get it up to, like, a 3.5, Trav?
No, but my thing, what brought it down was the false finish. I don't think it was entirely necessary. Because, like I said, I didn't believe, if that was going to be the finish, I didn't believe that Ray wasn't going to come back. Okay?
Ugh. No,
nothing?
No, I have to disagree.
Okay.
I think that this was...
3.25 is nothing to shake a stick at, bro.
3.25 is average.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's way above average.
It doesn't feel like it.
It's a good match. It's a really good match.
It's a really good match. All right.
So, yeah, it sucked so long, Chavo. And the last image is like, just as it fades out, you see the two of them just kind of staring at the two of each other, and it just cuts to them, that's it.
Bagel bites.
Yep.
Promotional consideration.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that was the best match of the night.
Totally.
Like you said, this is still that first act that we're kind of getting past, and I agree. I am ready for Aztec Warfare.
Oh, can't wait.
But next week
we get grave consequences.
Ooh. And Believer's Backlash
match. That would be good. So I hope it's just the two matches.
That'd be great.
That's all I want. Just those two matches.
I like it a lot. I'm trying to, like, what else could they put in there?
Yeah, I don't know. They could do.
They could.
You could do anything.
Yeah, I hope so too. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple little teases for the whatever else is going on. So are we 100% convinced that this White Rabbit clan is attached to those pictures?
No, because they haven't revisited those pictures at all. I don't know what those are.
I was thinking about that today.
That's what I expected it to be.
There were 3 pictures, and they were in black and white.
Man, they haven't come up again, though.
Mm-hmm. And like as you had pointed out, it was like one thing to one person, and another thing that was like ugly to somebody else.
I do believe that.
So that could be related to that through the looking glass, like you're seeing something different. Oh.
Yeah, okay.
And these guys, that they have that Alice in Wonderland and...
That is true. They are sort of mystical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
If it's not related to them, then we haven't seen anything else to hint that it's anything else.
I don't know. It seems like so little of a plot point, we just might never see anything about it again. And we'll never know.
It's true. But we shall see.
Yeah.
Alrighty,
let's call it there.
Yeah. We'll see you, we'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?